bread. More diversity, less risk, greater yield. Visit them at www.agrigold.com. I am joined this week by Jared Stansbury. How you doing, Jared?
I'm doing good. It feels weird to be over here.
Yeah.
You're the host now. You know what this makes you? If you're the host of the show?
I know where you're going to go with this. I don't know if I agree with it, but I know where you're going with this.
You're a media member, Adam.
Well, someone needed to fill in today. You know, we've transitioned from football season to basketball season. C-Dub is sick. I know that's going to come as a surprise to a lot of people out there that Chris Williams is sick. He does not have scarlet fever, everyone, so don't worry about that. But he is at home, so I'm filling in and hope to have a good CFTV Live with you.
One of these days, CW is going to stop being sick.
And start being awesome.
Sure.
You ever seen, have you seen How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I've seen How I Met Your Mother.
Barney Stinson?
Yeah.
Whenever I'm going to be sick, I just stop being sick and start being awesome. True story.
There you go.
So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, definitely.
I was kind of hoping our the first one for the basketball season coming off the Cy-Hawk game, we'd have a lot of positive things to talk about. Unfortunately, that's not the case.
No, that is definitely not the case.
You were in Iowa City before we kind of get up to the screen back
you,
here. And
you were in Iowa City too,
though. I was in Iowa City. Yeah, we took the bus out there. Had a great time there and back. Had some beverages, but unfortunately, the game wasn't how we wanted it to be.
You guys weren't loud enough. That's the problem.
There were some people in our group that would beg to differ on that. I probably wasn't. I don't get that loud anymore.
I think it was probably Ryan Grove's fault.
We can blame Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an easy target. He's easy to blame. But no, we had a great time. Hopefully people that were on the bus trip had a good time and we'll come back and do it again.
I'm sure they did.
As we'll do it again. But before we get up to the screen here and kind of break down some of Iowa State's failures, I guess you could say, what did you see in Iowa City?
I just think the biggest thing that, really stuck out to me was the way that Iowa State, they just didn't look like they were fully engaged in the game. From like the minute that the game started, whereas Iowa did. And I think that's what kind of really was the biggest difference in the game. You know, we went and listened to Steve Prohm talk yesterday at his press conference, and he talked about how Iowa State really only played two bad four-minute stretches. They went one where it was 10-0 and 10-4. And that's when Iowa really got out to their big lead. And it was like, and it just so happened that those are
big stretches, though.
Yeah.
And there's two of them.
And that's what I'm saying. Those two big stretches, and they're especially when they're early in the game, you would allow a team that has some guys that aren't maybe, they're not Peter Jock. They don't have a bunch of Peter Jocks, but they have a couple guys that are kind of role players.
Yeah.
You allow Jordan Bohannon to hit a shot. Cordell Pemsel gets some momentum. Nick Bear gets a little bit of confidence. All of a sudden, those guys have confidence that they can take going forward later into the game. And then Peter Jock scored like 9 points in that span too. So it's like you let this team that hasn't played very well early on in the season get some confidence early in the game with some big runs. And then from there on, you're playing catch up against a confident team. And that's just – it's really tough to come out in a game in your biggest rival's arena to come back from that.
Yeah. And it was on the road, like you said, and a team that was lacking confidence. And, I think if the game's at Hilton, you can withstand those big runs because the Hilton crowd kind of lets you get back into it a little bit. But I wasn't really surprised by the start. I thought Iowa would come out ready to play. It's a rivalry game. They needed that game just because of the way their season had started.
Right.
I just thought Iowa State would be quicker to match it. Iowa State didn't really match the intensity. I'd argue almost till the second half of that game. Second half, Iowa State, I thought Sevlin played a lot better. They just couldn't make a couple shots to get over the hump, probably. And then from there, Iowa scored some buckets late to kind of break it open.
Well, yeah, and I do think that was probably the biggest difference in that second half. I think they ran better offense, and they were able to get better shots. But when they were getting those good shots, they weren't making them.
They weren't making them.
And that's something that I think will change later on in the season. And this is another thing Prohm talked about yesterday is when they're running their offense, when they run through their sets, they get good looks. But it's when they start freelancing and they start just kind of doing whatever they want to do, that's when they start getting those bad looks and that's when they start making some bad decisions.
Yeah. I want to hit back on what you talked about as far as the two big runs that Iowa State gave up. I know a lot of people, when I was sitting there in Carver Hockey Arena as well, were asking for Steve to call a timeout. He obviously didn't. I don't think he called any timeout in the first half, minus when Monte got trapped in the corner, which I think you might show here a little bit later. What is your thoughts on that? Do you think that's something where he needs to be calling a timeout, especially on the road? There's different ways to look at that.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different schools of thought on that. And I think what he tends to do is he wants to try and let his team, a team full of seniors, just withstand it and get through it. And try to get to that next media timeout, and then you can kind of regroup. And you mentioned before you don't like when he will call a timeout out of after an Iowa State basket.
Especially in Hilton Coliseum. Yeah. It drives me crazy when he does it in Hilton Coliseum.
I think that maybe previously it's because – this is just my idea. I have no idea if this is true. But maybe previously it's about – Iowa State hasn't been very good defensively, so Maybe it's better to get back and set up the defense in a timeout, kind of collect yourself – rather than, okay, we need to call timeout right after we've been getting killed on defense and then fix our offense. Like, just let these guys kind of figure it out themselves. Maybe, I don't know. I think it's just his philosophy as a coach.
Sure.
You know?
And this is something that fans used to complain about with Fred Hoiberg as well, mm-hmm. that they just didn't like when he called timeouts. He didn't call enough to stop big runs. I'm always fascinated. Certain coaches are quick to call him. I mean, Scott Drew will be quick to call a timeout if he thinks the game's going to be slipping away at all.
I think it really just depends on what kind of coach you are.
Yeah.
What kind of trust do you have in your team, I guess, or like what your team is like and how the read you have on your team based on when you need to take one.
And it's easy now to go back and look.
I've played for coaches that have done either way, where they'll call their timeouts really quick, and that can be kind of crappy sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, just let us play, you know, and let us try and figure it out ourselves instead of bringing us over and yelling at us or something like that.
And it's easy to look back after it did not work. He didn't call a timeout. Right. It didn't work. They went on a run and said, man, he should have called the timeout then. But who knows? Maybe Iowa State gets a steal, gets a couple buckets, and he looks like a genius for letting his seniors play.
Right.
You never know. So you want to stand up here and break down tape or anything else you want to talk about quick?
No, I don't think so. Should be good.
All right. So we're going to pull up a couple plays here. Jared's done a nice job taking some time here. So let's see.
All right. So this is Iowa State's first possession of the game right here. Okay. So they're going to kick this ball to Matt right here. And then they're going to set up a play to Naz. And it's going to be a triple ball or a triple screen down here. So just run it to there. Run it to when they set up this triple screen down here.
Keep going?
Keep going, yeah. Oh. Right here. All right. So this is really just good scouting right here by Peter Jock. Naz is going to come underneath this triple screen, come out to the corner, and they're going to try and get a shot right there. That's a play that Iowa State's run a couple different times early on in the season. But he's going to cut this off and go high. And you're going to see Deontay kind of try and step up. And here, just run it through there. See, he's going to step up. He's going to cut off that pass. And that cuts off Iowa State's action. Pause it. This right here, this is a set that Iowa State goes into a lot of the time where they're just, their set kind of ends. They got 15 seconds left on the shot clock, and they're just going to play. You're just going to try and get somebody to make a play. All right, run it. They get the pick and pop here with Deontay, gets a piece of the paint, draws the defender, kick out to Matt for a three. That's a good possession right there by Iowa State. You run through your action. You don't get what you're trying to get with your initial three-pointer, but then you just get it out and you let two of your better players get there, make a play, and you get Deontay Burton in the paint, and he kicks out and shoots a three. Or and they get a three from Matt.
So this is Iowa State's first possession right here of the game. So this is obviously something that they had drawn up as a couple different options to score. So you would like to see Iowa State be able to get buckets on their first score. One thing I noticed here, and the play ended up working, so I don't want to kill it too much, but when they set this triple screen down below.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Well, not very good, but Burton's got to set a better screen than that, doesn't he?
Yeah, you at least one of these guys, these first two guys, you would want to be able to get them get a piece of that defender. But that's why I'm saying that's good scouting by Peter Jock. He's seen them run that play before, and he knows that that's a play that they like to run. And I'm sure that that's what they did in practice when they were doing their scout or whatever was they were. They told him to go over that. All right, what's the next one?
We're gonna do the Iowa State versus Iowa press.
Okay, yeah.
This was not pretty.
Yeah. So this was after Iowa's first possession. They go into the press here. Run it. So they go into this press. It's a – pause it right here. It's like a 1-2-2 zone. So, ideally, in a press against like – or against a press like this, one of these guys, Matt Thomas is right here. Naz is somewhere down here. You want to get one of those guys into the middle of the floor right here. All right, run it. Instead, both of those guys are going to run back towards the three-point line. And Monte just dribbles right here. Pause it. And it takes until, you know, there's been 7 seconds of already run off. And then finally, Naz starts to run up, Matt runs up, and then they have to call timeout.
So, Jared, do you think this here is a miscommunication where maybe Matt thought Naz was coming and Naz thought Matt was coming? Or is this just kind of a brain fart altogether?
I think it looks like a situation where these guys were expecting to be able to try and run some kind of transition.
Yeah.
And instead, they put on this press.
They weren't ready for it.
They weren't prepared for it. But
disappointing, tough to see when you got – five seniors in the court right there.
Yeah.
Not the first press they've seen.
And it, I mean, a lot of times I think that you can trust someone like Monte to break this. You know, he does that a lot.
Yeah.
And you have a good point guard. So, you, and Deontay's obviously pretty good with the ball in his hands, but you still have to have that guy in the middle of the floor here because you've got three guys guarding two. And then you've got two guys back here guarding three.
So we heard yesterday that Steve Prohm broke down tape with Monte for a couple hours afterwards. Do you think he sits here and looks at this play and says, Monte, to obviously Matt.
I think even right here, if you see Monte get this ball just push it.
He's got attack.
Yeah, if he just pushes the ball instead of kind of trying to just – he just walks it forward, you know.
And that's been
– the issue a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, that's been an issue altogether as far as pushing the ball. Or if you're not going to push it, should he have at least stayed behind the line? There's 4 seconds before even the 10-second and wait for maybe Matt or Naz to kind of come up to the middle.
Right, and I think that that's where you just – they need to communicate a little bit better. I think these guys just need to communicate with each other a little bit better, that somebody has to get into the middle of the floor right there and see that there's three guys here and, you know, your two guys are pretty close together. It's going to be tough for them to be able to get the ball across that line. Here, pause it right there.
Oh.
Or back a little bit.
Yep, I gotcha.
Like right there. Yeah. Somebody should be coming up into this area right here, right when this pass comes back, and then you could kick it right there, get it right across the line.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough to watch. Okay, let's go over to Iowa in transition.
So this was – okay. So, yeah, this is after a couple – this is a couple possessions later. Iowa misses a shot. They put Iowa State pushes it in transition. This is a good job by Iowa State. This is something that they didn't really do a ton in this game. You get the ball, outlet it quick. You've got your big man running down the floor. All right, run it. Monte gets the piece of the paint, kick it back out to Matt. That could have been a shot, but he drives in, pulls up, gets a nice jumper. Stop it right here. So Deontay's got his head turned this way. Matt's trying to get back to his man right here. They're already inbounding the ball, and they're running. Matt's just floating back, ends up fouls this guy. That's right 2 minutes into the game, and it took 2 seconds after an Iowa State made basket for Iowa to get down and get a shot at the rim.
And this changed the game too, I believe, because Matt ended up getting two fouls right away. He's out, barely played in the first half, and he was the only one that was really hitting buckets for Iowa State early.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
run it back to when Iowa State had the ball, right when Matt was getting ready to shoot this shot. Yeah, right here. I think a lot of times, this is a shot that Matt Thomas would make. Bohannon gets back here kind of slow. But at the end of the day, it's a good shot. He makes a shot. That doesn't matter. But it's right here.
And he's got Bohannon on him too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Bohannon, not a lengthy guy. Probably not going to bother a shot if he rises up and shoots that three.
And I think Bohannon was prepared for him to shoot, obviously. I mean, he got past him pretty easy. But, all right, run it a little bit.
He makes a good read here on that pull-up too.
Yeah. That was a good play by Matt. But then it's right here. He needs to be hustling back, or Deontay needs to be helping him, seeing that guy run the lane, especially with as fast as they got the ball in bounds.
And you can see Prohm right there talking to him.
Yeah,
saying,
that's the thing he says. I mean, Iowa proved early on in the game that it didn't matter what the situation was. They were willing to get out and run. But this was a really good job by Iowa State of getting out in transition. You got Monte attacking, then you make that extra pass. And then Matt gets a piece of the paint. And there's a lot of different things you can do out of that. But, yeah, it's just right here. It's you got to get back on defense instead of kind of floating back on defense.
Yep. All right. Kat, we're going to move on to another video here. We're talking about when we took a bad shot here.
Yeah.
You got it. Kat.
Okay. So, I was starting to get out in front. This is kind of right when their big lead is – their big run is really starting to get going. All right, run it. So Iowa State looks like they're trying to get into some kind of set. They're trying to get their play set up, but it's just a lot of dribbling around. Monte gets a piece of the paint, kick out to, you know, you get a kick out, and then you get it to Donovan. Stop it right here. Guys are just standing around. Now Donovan's got the ball with 12 seconds on the shot clock. At this point, you're probably trying to get the ball to Monte, maybe set your high ball screen and see if you can get something going towards the rim. All right, run it. Instead, stop. Donovan takes two dribbles, spinning fall away jumper with 10 seconds on the shot clock.
You said when we were watching this earlier that
not even Kobe Bryant makes that shot.
Kobe Bryant makes that all day.
No.
Come on.
Not even Kobe Bryant makes that shot.
It is a tough one because not only is he turning and fading away, he's going opposite of his strong side. He's not even turning over his right shoulder to shoot with his left hand. He's going opposite there. That's ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just tough, especially when you see that the other four guys are just standing there. Keep going.
All right.
This is what is worse, though. Right here. Stop.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. I'll go back.
All right. So Nick Bear gets this rebound. Donovan, instead of making sure he sees that this guy's just going to push, or at least you see that this guy's just going to push, he goes to get the point guard in the backcourt rather than just getting back on defense. Run it. And this turns into Nick Bear dribbling right down the middle of the floor for an and one.
Nicholas Bear.
Yeah. Right down the middle of the floor.
That, I'll be honest, that I thought was the most frustrating play of the day.
And that was the play that sparks their big run, because then the next play we're going to show turns into another easy layup for Bear. And this is right after he comes into the game. Run it, get it back to like right here.
Oh, you want to go it again?
Yeah.
Where do you want it at?
Right, like right here. He gets the ball right here. See, and you just got to stop the ball. Somebody has to make stopping the ball in that situation their number one priority. You just can't let that guy go all the way into the middle of the lane.
Nicholas Bear went through three Iowa State players there, essentially.
Yeah. Well, he dribbled past four of them, at least.
We'll watch this one more time just for pain. Let's see here. One, two, three. Monte
is four. Monte could have stepped out, but then you do have Peter Jock out here, so I understand why he did.
Why he stayed out there.
Yeah. All right, so then the next one comes right after Bear's free throw that he shoots on that and one. No, that's not it.
That's what you told me to put.
No.
Which one you
okay,
want?
Okay, then I got it in the wrong order. It's this one. Press after Bear and one.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Google.
We'll get it. Gotta love technology, don't you, Jared?
Yeah, something like that. See, this is why we shouldn't let you run things, Adam.
Yeah.
All right. So free throw goes in. Iowa gets into their press again, but this time it's kind of just, Bears just here. These guys have floated all the way back. Again, you need to get somebody in the middle of the floor right here. But then you've got Daryl Bowie, who's on the opposite side. Not a guy that maybe is going to handle the ball in this kind of situation quite as often. But you've still got a lot of space in between Bowie and the next line defender down here.
We've got technical difficulties, buddy.
Internet. Slow internet. All right. Now it's going to work. So, right here, you've got quite a bit of space in between here. Get it back to Bowie. He's got to get all the way across half court. Plus, then, Bear's got to run clear back this way. Somebody needs to get into the middle of the floor right here to try and work as a kind of a pressure outlet. Man. This is why you should have downloaded them, Adam.
Hey, you know what, Jared? You sent these to me way too late. Let's sit down for a second. I'll see if I can get this working while we're talking. A lot of this stuff, to me, though, I mean, this is not anything new for the Iowa State basketball players.
No.
This is stuff that they've, these guys have played 100 college basketball games. Stopping the ball is not a first time it's been taught to them. What's the issue? Is it just a lack of effort? I hate being the lack of effort guy.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to just say these guys aren't playing as hard as the other team. They're getting their butts kicked. But sometimes when you do watch stuff like this, as far as not maybe moving around, the other team's beating them down the court, as far as after a bucket, Matt's not getting back. Lack of effort is kind of something that you can point to a little bit.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, maybe it's a lack of awareness. Like, you just have to be aware of what's happening at that time, and be ready to make sure that you're getting back in all those situations.
So what do they do?
You just have to be conscious of it.
Just a wake-up call?
Yeah, really. It really is, I think.
But do you get tired? I know I do. I get tired of, we kind of needed this game. It's a wake-up call. I think it's going to be a good loss for us. At some point, you can only have so many of those losses, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. At some point, it's just a thing. Like, it's just what your team is, But I don't think that that's what Iowa State is. I think that they can be better than that.
I think they can, too.
Yeah. Is it going now?
We'll see. This is where it's always stopped. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Back up.
Run it back. All right. So, pause it right here.
Nope. I'll go back. Right here.
All
right.
So, Bowie gets the ball across the floor, or across the line. At this point, somebody needs to be come getting the ball from him. You don't want your, in this situation, he's either the four or the five man. You probably don't want him handling the ball almost 30 feet away from the hoop, right in the corner by the half court line. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. So, keep running it.
All right.
Stop it right there. Right here in this situation, that I don't know why he picked up his dribble. All of a sudden, you've got this trap. You don't have anything you can do with it. You can't really get it through to anybody. And then you bring the ball down right here. That just leaves it into a situation where, you know, this is going to happen. Ball gets taken. Turns into a layup. All of a sudden, Iowa went from up, what was it? It was
five.
They were up two. They go from up two after an and one, and then now they're up six. Or up eight. Yeah. They go from up two to up eight in probably
three to eight. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably 15 seconds.
The picking up the ball in the corner there, I mean, that's something that you're taught that at a young age. That's a no-no. You don't pick the ball up in the corner there. At the same time, let me look at this play again. Is this one where, once again, Monte, the guard, has got to know? Well, no, he just dribbles. This is all Bowie, isn't it? That's not Monte's fault for passing it to him there.
I think he needed somebody to be able to get rid of the ball to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have anything that he could do with the ball except for pick it up. And once you pick it up right there, you're done.
You're in trouble.
Especially with – you had two guys that were pretty long. You know, Bear's obviously got long arms, and it's tough to throw a ball over the top of him. So you just dribbled into a bad spot right there. That's why you need to be able to – you have to get the ball into the middle of the floor, though. You can't be messing around too much over here on these sides, especially right there by half court. All right, run it. This is right after this. This came – or maybe a couple possessions later, but obviously it's still 2018. Iowa's got a 12-point lead. Pause it right here. Iowa's in the middle of an 11-2 run. Iowa State has four guys that are just standing around, 20 seconds on the shot clock, and Monte – is going to run it. He can get this shot at any point in a possession, anytime. Contested, long three-pointer on a pull-up. It's not that I don't think Monte can make that shot. It's just I don't think that this is the best situation in which to take it.
That shot should be reserved for in the shot clock situations into halves.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah. That's like a 2 second on the shot clock shot.
Not with 18.
Not 18, not 20, especially when you're in the midst of 11-2 run. You need to attack the basket and you need to get something here. You know, you need to get a piece of the paint and try and get an open shot, whether it's one of these guys or if it's a dump down to Solomon. But it's tough when you've got a lot of guys that are standing, and Iowa's been able to just kind of pack it back into the paint.
So I got to ask, with Solomon there, we have not seen, and I think that's one of Iowa State's problems too, we have seen zero paint touches for Iowa State this year. Mm-hmm. There's times where I think Solomon and Holden, those guys will have good position down low, and our guards have no desire to pass him the ball. Is that something? I mean, I don't know the skill set. I don't know if Solomon Young's good enough or skilled enough yet as a player to get that ball to him. Do you think they need to and at least try to make the defense be honest?
I think even if nothing else, if you can just get that guy the ball, it allows these guys to move. Mm-hmm. You know, to just kind of move and trying to create something for themselves when they don't have the basketball in their hands.
Yeah.
It's like, even if he's not a big-time scorer, if he can be a good passer, you know, that can be something that can be really beneficial for you. But I think especially Bowie, I think if you get him some situations where he's got the ball right in this area, he can make some plays right there.
Yeah.
You know, especially going to his left hand.
Solomon Young made a nice move in the second half of that game. Mm-hmm. He went up and under. He ended up kind of fading rather than going to the hoop, but it was a nice initial move. So I think he's got the ability to.
Yeah.
But as you know, too, for a shooter would much rather shoot the ball when it's coming from the inside where they're already set up looking at the hoop
right.
than if it's coming around the corner. And I think that's one of the reasons right now where our shooting percentage is so low from three is.
And we saw a lot of situations, too, where, you know, they'd get the ball to George right here. Obviously, these guys aren't George.
Yeah.
But that would just forces the defense to stay honest, and you can't press so much out on this three-point line. You can't put quite so much pressure on those guards.
I agree.
But, yeah, this is just – it's just tough. 11-2 run, like, you need to get a good shot right here. And this is maybe one of those situations that you mentioned where you'd like to see a timeout, but there's – you know, it's getting close to a media break there as well. Which one's this? Okay, this is the rim run. All right. So, pause it right here. For – all of the preseason, Steve Prohm talked a lot about wanting to be able to how much he was trying to get these big men to run. You want to get them out running the floor rim to rim. This time Solomon was out here, he had to guard somebody on a switch, but he did get out and rim run, and he's going to be the first man down the floor. That's the situation where if you're going to want these guys to run, you have to reward them when they are the first man down the floor. You have to get them the ball to get a position for a bucket at least.
This is you speaking as a big man.
Yeah.
You want that ball.
Well, and that's – I think I tweeted it on Friday. In this situation, it's like giving your dog a treat for good behavior. It's just like that positive reinforcement that gets the guy to continue to rim run. And if you can keep him rim running, that puts pressure on the defense – because it'll draw guys towards the rim if you've got a big guy that's the first one down the floor.
It's like the equivalent of fullbacks getting a carry or two a game. They've been blocking all game. They've been doing the dirty work. Yeah, we'll give you a carry every now and then just to keep you happy.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
There's the comparison.
All right, but run it right here.
Okay.
Stop.
He's open.
There would be, I don't know, it might be kind of a tough pass, but if you could put it right here on this hand, boom. Easy layup. Now even right here, he's got position. There's no backside help. That's a bucket.
So on a play like that, is this where
– this is a good job by Solomon. Here, stop it right there.
Oh, ready?
Right there. Throws on the brakes. Sees that he's got this man on his high side. That's just a good job of fundamental post play by a freshman.
He's got him
pinned.
That's
good instincts right there.
So does Jackson need to continue to drive down a little bit more for an easier angle pass on that? Rather than pulling up here and passing it?
Once you get this late, yeah, you need to pull down a little bit more. He needs to be able to hold his position, and you hope that – and I don't think this guy's getting back very fast. He had some time to make this play. Stop right there. Yeah.
I mean, even
he
here –
he could have made that pass. There's no backside help.
Yeah, there's nobody there. You throw that up almost towards the rim.
But in this situation, when the ball was back here, Donovan's looking over here at one of these guys, seeing if he could maybe kick it out for a three-pointer rather than looking down. He doesn't see this guy until late.
Oh, man.
And that's just – there was a situation where they did hit Holden on one of those, and I think he got blocked from behind. But those are the kinds of plays that have to – you know, that if you're Steve Prohm, you want to see them make those plays.
Pulling up the Thomas long two, but before that, let's do piece of the paint for Thomas.
Okay. That's the wrong one. There you go.
Yep. Right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so Iowa State obviously gets the ball, brings it up. They go through a little bit of a set here, kind of a weave. And then you see Monte, they get it to Naz. He's going to attack, gets into the lane, stop right there.
Look at that shot.
Draws three defenders. Matt Thomas is wide open for a three. Hit it, go.
Well, he does.
Doesn't make this one. But at the end of the day, that's a really good shot, and that's one that he's going to make a lot of times. That's a good rhythm three-pointer, and it's because Naz was able to get into the middle of the lane, and you draw multiple defenders, and it gets Iowa into a scramble situation.
If Iowa State can do this, if their guards can attack more and get into the – I mean, he got low. I mean, he was down in the circle there before he finally kicked that out.
There's just a lot of different options for what Iowa State can even do here. If Matt doesn't shoot that, he's got Monte. You push it right back, and that's a wide-open three.
Yep. And that's something that if Iowa State guards get it down, I think that's when they're going to be at their best.
And that's the difference between when Iowa State is attacking and when they're being passive, trying to hunt their jump shots a little bit.
Yep.
You see them getting right there in the middle of the lane. And these guys, they know that Naz can finish at the lane, at the rim. They know Monte can finish at the rim. They have to get down here in the lane. They have to help, and they have to put that pressure on them. This is how you relieve the pressure.
If Iowa State gets down there too, I would imagine that you'd see their shooting percentage at three go up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
I think so too.
All right, let's take a look at this Thomas long two.
All right. So this play came out. This is the first Iowa State possession of the second half. And Iowa State got a couple offensive rebounds, was able to keep the ball alive. So I think they got fouled off of an offensive rebound. Kick it out to Thomas. Stop it right here. All right. So this is off your baseline, out of bounds. 30 seconds on the shot clock. Deontay's going to come up and set a pick. Stop.
I thought you said he's going to set a pick.
Kind of a half-hearted pick, obviously, but it's it gets some space cleared for him, so that is what it is. But right now, Matt's got a couple different options. kick. Obviously, there's a guy right there. He could even float it back over this way, shoot, or you could attack the rim, try and drop Pemsel. You might be able to have a drop down right there to hold him. Run it. He shoots. What, with this guy recovering, is amounts to essentially a contested long two with 28 seconds on the shot clock.
See, you know, I'm a big Matt Thomas fan, but this is one thing of his that drives me a little bit crazy. He's a big, strong
That's an
kid.
Even – that this shot, it's deep, but it's a better shot than that one.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Matt's a good passer when he gets into the lane.
Yeah.
If he goes in, one more dribble, he's got – like you said – if Pemsel helps, he could throw it up towards the hoop for Holden. He could kick out to Monte. He could kick back over to Ness. He's got options. When he pulls up right there, that's a shot we never saw taken during the Fred Hoiberg era,
and this is a shot that I think Matt makes this shot. Pemsel knows he has to come up because he's good at finishing down there in the lane. And this is what opened up a lot of stuff for Jameel McKay. Mm-hmm. When this guy would have to drop up, especially against a zone, lob that right up at the rim, and that's a dunk. You know,
can we get back to the three-pointers or shots in the lane and get rid of these 18-foot jumpers, please?
Yeah, I'm sure that everyone would be happy to.
I'll send an email off.
There you go.
See if we can get something worked out there.
There you go.
All right. So now we're going to go back over. I think you wanted the Burton rebound.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate that Iowa State did do good things in this game. Like, I'm not – like, these are just some of the bad things that we picked out. You know what I mean?
They lost to an Iowa team that had been struggling. They didn't score. They scored, what, 64, 65 points? I had been giving up about 90 a game. I think there's a lot of negatives. I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing out the negatives. And there's going to be better games, and we're going to have more positive things to do on the show going forward.
Definitely.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay. So, 30-19. This is a good defensive possession by Iowa State. They got a switch here, able to recover pretty easily. Deontay did a good job on help side. They force a contested long shot. Deontay Burton doesn't make contact with his man. He flies in, gets an offensive rebound. This was Merle Holden's second foul. Or it might have been his first one. Either way. I think it was either first or second.
It was a foul that did not need to
happen.
Yeah,
it was an unnecessary foul. And like I said, this is good first shot defense by Iowa State. Deontay does a really nice job on covering that man, gets back, is able to recover. You force a contested shot. All you have to do is make contact with that guy, but you allow him to run in, and he gets it pretty much uncontested.
He didn't even jump either.
No.
He didn't even. And the thing about this here, too, the thing that I notice is Iowa State is not big enough to where they can afford not boxing out. They have to be better than everyone else at it. You know, if Kentucky or a Louisville, those teams have a lot of height. They could probably get by just out jumping and having being longer than other teams. Iowa State can't do that. Coaching issue or player issue on that?
I think that's another one of those complacency things. Like you have to be conscious, make a conscious effort to make contact with your guy every time.
We've seen this now with Fred and with Prohm's teams too, though, where that play happens a lot more often than it should. There are certain teams that consistently, year after year after year, rebound better than other teams. When you were a player, what kind of drills would you guys work on to make sure that that didn't happen?
There's just, you know, they can do things where you put up a thing in the rim, and then the coach will just throw it up there, and the ball's just going to go all over the place, and it's just a free-for-all. It's get your rebound. You make sure you make contact with your man. You know, they'll maybe put him at the elbow line extended. They'll put him out there on the wing. Make sure you make contact with your man, and at all costs, you get the rebound. That's all there is to it.
And we used to do that in high school, and it was you beat the hell out of each other doing that.
And that's what it is. It's you beat the crap out of each other, and the tougher man's going to get the ball more often than not.
Yep.
Is this the the screen right here?
This is the bad screen. This is our last one that we got to show here.
This is actually another thing that is you mentioned it earlier. Iowa State doesn't set very good screens as a team, just in general. And that was I remember my freshman year at Simpson, like we didn't set very good screens in one game. I remember in the next practice here, just pause it. In the next practice, we spent like an hour just doing box drills where you just set screens on each other.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
One straight hour.
Yes, it was horrible. We didn't win very many games that season, though, if that counts for anything.
So maybe you should have been working on some other things.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but in this play, Holden's going to come up. He's going to set a ball screen. You want to set that screen somewhere down here. You want Monte to be able to work that man and make the contact. He develops the contact, and instead of you making the first contact. Instead, Holden runs up here, plants it right next to him, and he's making the initial contact with Bohannon rather than Monte leading him into the initial contact. You get what I'm
saying? Yeah. Average in the last couple. So those kind of plays to me stand out as just very, you know, you get in there, you watch tape, you point out, you fix it. That stuff's fine. The stuff that kind of is worrisome to me is just the lack of movement on offense, because this wasn't one game thing.
Right.
We saw this against Cincinnati. We saw it at times against Indiana State, Gonzaga. I mean, even Miami, we won that game by a lot of points, but there was just some nice – we scored off ISO sets.
Right.
That some games you're going to have that, but more times than not, you need to run some actual movement and get some good shots up. That's the thing that concerns me the most right now with this team.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think that Steve Prohm's going to take a little bit more rein into the offense, and he's going to put some more sets in, some more where it's not as much of them freelancing. When they did run their sets, they were fine.
Yeah.
They got good looks, but you've got to be able to run your sets consistently enough and not let freelancing kind of hurt you.
And this has been hashed out a million times, but it's easier to freelance when you have a George Niang, right?
Right.
And you can – one thing that Iowa State loved to do too is what we saw up there where Merrill Holden comes and does a pick. We would do that with George Niang a lot. Mm-hmm. But the defense has had to just be completely worried about him.
Yeah.
They don't care what Merrill Holden does.
No.
Merrill Holden, you can do whatever you want. We're not worried about you.
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
But that's when you have to – I mean, Monte has to be able to hurt you as well. He's got to be attacking downhill so that he can hurt you in that situation and get Merle into a position where he can be successful. I think he can be successful right around the rim.
Yeah.
You know, and it's – maybe he's not going to hit that 15-foot jumper. He's not going to be your pick-and-pop type guy. But if he can roll hard to the rim – he's going to get some buckets that way, I would think. I think Solomon Young and Daryl Bowie both can do that as well.
I don't think we're expecting Holden to score 10 points a game, but if he averaged 5 points, 5 rebounds a game, it'd be a huge improvement what he's been doing for us lately. Mm-hmm. And would help out a lot. One thing I wanted to point out, too, is how the tempo, we said pushing it. I see Iowa, after a bucket, pass the ball in and fly down the court. Part of it is Iowa State not getting back on defense, but they force Iowa State to have to get back on defense, which tires them out too.
And that's
Iowa State never did that last game.
Yeah, and I think I do think that'll be something that changes as well. Prohm talked about how he wanted to play faster. You haven't seen it yet this season. They've been a lot slower, in fact. And it's like
significantly slower.
They need to force the issue. Monte needs to force the issue to make it so that they're getting out into those tempo situations.
Even on made buckets sometimes?
Yeah.
Run the ball down court. You might not get a shot right away. Well, I'm not saying you try to press too much, but maybe at least get the defense on their heels a little bit.
And you can't worry about when somebody scores on you. If they score on you, it's whatever. Get the ball out and go. That's what Iowa State used to do. And I think they've got it. It's almost like they've taken pride in their defense now.
Too much.
And they're like, we're good at defense. And now somebody scores on us and we're pissed. And it's like, no, we need to get the ball out and we go. And now we're just keep going. It's next possession.
Yeah. So we sit here today. Iowa State now plays Drake. Who are their other two non-conference games before?
They just have one more. It's Mississippi Valley
State. Oh, Mississippi Valley State. So they got two more. We're probably not going to know a whole lot more about this Iowa State team until Big 12 play.
No. But I think that these next two games they're good for maybe to get your mojo back a little bit. You know, and they're good because Iowa State can focus on Iowa State rather than having to focus on preparing for somebody that's really tough.
Does the mojo thing I'll be honest, it's hard for me to buy into that after we saw what Iowa State did against Nebraska, Omaha, and then just turn around and come right back and play like they did against Iowa.
That's true.
But I still believe in this Iowa State team. I still think that they have a high ceiling. They're limited in what they can do just because of their lack of height and low post scoring, but I still think they can give a lot of teams issues. But like we've talked about, they got to get back to playing faster, moving the ball around, driving and kicking, driving and kicking. And if they don't do that, they're pretty easy guard because they don't have a whole lot of – they don't have any ISO guys.
At the end of the day, there's still 20-plus games left.
Yeah,
like they have a lot of time to be able to figure this out, and it's not like Iowa State's never lost 3 games in a season before. Like, they have time to figure this out. I think you're right. They just need to be able to get back to that style of play that has been so successful for them in the past, and I think that they will.
I think they will too. And honestly, the only loss so far that really stood out to me is bad. I mean, Iowa's been really bad.
Yeah,
no, Cincinnati for me.
Oh, okay.
I think the Cincinnati loss is worse than the Iowa loss.
Just because it's at home?
It's at home.
Yeah.
And you hold Cincinnati to 50-some points, or even less maybe, 50 points at the end of regulation, and you lose that game, that should never happen. Mm-hmm. That game, to me, Iowa State should have been pushing, and should have won that game a little more easy. Iowa, you know, it's a rivalry game on the road. We've seen it in football as well. You just never know in those games. That stuff happens sometimes.
Definitely.
But Yeah, I think the Cincinnati loss is worse.
That's understandable.
People right now are listening and just shaking their heads in disagreement with
maybe,
me.
Maybe. They played worse than that in the Iowa game, I think. Because there were moments when they were flat out just bad in that Iowa game.
In the Cincinnati game, they at least defended better.
Yeah.
Iowa game, they had some lapses in defense. And, you know,
well, that's what I'm
saying. Iowa was a better scoring team than Cincinnati, though.
Yeah,
they're not as tough. They don't defend. But
for those few minute spans that we talked about, the 10-0, the 10-4, four-minute spans in that first half, they just played bad.
Bad.
They played really bad for those few minutes.
Yeah. It was not one of their better efforts. Hopefully.
And you notice most of those clips came from the
first
span.
Half.
Yeah, they came from that span where Iowa really played well and Iowa State played very poorly.
There was a point in the second half with maybe 5 minutes to go where I think Iowa still – they hadn't even scored 20 points in the second half. So Iowa's defense tightened up. But like we saw, I mean, they missed layups. They missed some open threes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you press a little bit when you're down and you're trying – you know, you're down 10. The big thing is there's no 10-point basket, right? You got to chip away. Sometimes I think teams get a little tight and they're trying to make a bunch of plays right away rather than just letting it come back to them. And Iowa State probably did that a little bit. But I thought they played a lot better in the second half.
I agree. I think that they just couldn't get over that hump. They weren't hitting shots enough to be able to get over that hump and get into more striking distance.
Yeah.
Taking a lead, I think.
So Big Four Classics this weekend.
Yeah.
Iowa State Drake within 30 points.
I don't know. I went and watched Drake on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, they're
not impressed.
Only win this year has been against Simpson.
Yeah.
Where you used to ball out.
Yeah.
Could you have helped out your Simpson team in that game, you think? Is Simpson any good this year?
Yeah, they're 7-2 right now.
Are they?
Yeah, they've actually, they're playing really well. They're a guy that was named the National Player of the Week last week.
Very nice. How close was the Drake game?
15 points.
No. It is a difference.
But
though.
I think it was
closer till the end there.
No, not very close. And then it kind
they
of
got
closer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I wasn't there.
So. I mean, it is Division III, right?
Yeah.
Versus Division I.
Drake also lost to Division II Alaska Anchorage.
Hey, they've had some tough teams over the years.
They lost to Jackson State on Saturday. My roommate has a teammate that plays for Jackson State, a DMAC.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss. It'll be interesting to see who Drake
goes. How do you know? Jackson State finished second in their conference last year.
What conference is it?
I don't remember.
Exactly.
They returned four starters, though. They could be a tournament team this year.
Exactly.
That's a good loss for Drake.
Jackson State could go 30-1, and they would still have to win their conference tournament to even go to the dance.
That's true.
That tells you everything.
I think they went to like the second round of the CBI or something last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where Iowa State's going if they don't start winning some basketball games.
So slow your roll.
No, I don't think
Adam's off the wagon.
Got a little something in my coffee
there
right
here.
There
we go.
But, no, this is, like we told people, too, basketball season now, so Jared will be on here. We might be switching up guests, and we might be switching up who's kind of running it from time to time. We have some positive stuff coming to CFTV Live where we're going to actually get rid of the TV back here. We're going to go to a monitor where the camera hooks right into it, be much better for the viewing audience. Don't have a time in which that's going to come up yet. Hopefully, you know, sometime in January or February, then you can look forward to that even going into the football season next year. But thanks again to you, Jared.
Yep, thanks.
For CFTV Live. Thanks to our sponsor, AgriGold Hybrid. They know corn. Check them out, agrigold.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.